Praise the Lord, everybody. Good to be back in Birmingham. And it's one of my favorite churches to come to. I don't say that to just flatter you. Somebody said one time, flattery is like chewing gum. You just can't swallow it. So I appreciate what the Holy Ghost is doing here. And for the growth you're having, revival that you're having, the vision that you have, the things that are going to take place in 2006. And amen. Things that are taking place, not just what's coming, but things that are already transpiring. Maybe certain spiritual explosives that God has already detonated, and they're just going to continue to mushroom in their influence and effect in this city, in this area, in your families, where you work, people you're trying to reach. Amen. Amen. I want to get right into the word of the Lord tonight. I want to obey the Holy Ghost with what I feel God sent me here for tonight and what he does tomorrow. I think I know, but I don't always completely know. God sometimes does it on purpose. He'd get me to study hours on one thing just to jerk the rug out and say, no, this is what I want you to do. And I'll go, well, wait a minute. Well, you keep what you studied. You can use that later. But aren't you glad we serve a God tonight that is not just, he's not an arbitrary God. He doesn't just randomly select people that he wants to love. The Bible said, whosoever will, let him come. Praise God. Well, I believe that is not just a scripture to those that are thirsty and lost, hungry and desperate. I believe it's also a verse that the church of the living God can live by. Whosoever will. If you want to break through to another dimension, you can do that. God's not a respecter of persons, but he is an inspector of prayer and praise. And he does like to be worshiped. And that's one thing I love about this place. You have a wonderful balance of the word and worship. And, you know, a ship that stays balanced can handle any stormy sea. It doesn't matter how big the waves are, how rough the hurricane winds are. If you stay right here like this, balanced, steady, you're going to make it through anything. And it takes the balance of worship and devotion to the word to do those things. Praise God. If you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, while you're turning there, let me quickly mention the book that I brought last time with me called The Impossibility Zone. This was the second book in the Construction Zone series. I'm doing something a little different, and I'd like to encourage you to pray about it, think about it. I've put a Bible study, some of you are familiar with this. I had it with me last time called Escape. But I'm putting a little soul winners packet together with the book and the Bible study. You can get 10 of these books with the Bible study for just $40. Now, one of these books in bookstores will sell anywhere from $11.99 to $13.99, depending on where they're at. In a Pentecostal publishing house, they sell them for $13.99. That's 10 books for the price of 3, basically, because I want them to be seeds that you can give to somebody that you work with, somebody in your family, and you can create a dialogue. There are people that are hungry and hurting that you work with, that you live with, that you're associated with, that you may bump into at a restaurant, in a supermarket, and so on, that this book, read one chapter in it, and it can create a dialogue because it will touch the areas where they're hurting emotionally, physically, spiritually. Amen. So those are available after service. If you have any questions about them, you can come to me. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. This is probably with John 3:16, Acts 2:38. A few other choice scriptures in the New Testament. This is probably one of the most quoted passages. in the Bible. And I'm glad it's here. But I don't think it's just a comforting text. I believe it is. I believe it has conviction in it. If you look beneath the surface. And we know, verse 28, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Let's lift our hands and thank Him. Thank You for Your word tonight, God. Thank You for the expression of faith in this building. Thank You for the many experiences. Thank You for this timing here on this January night, 2006, New Life Church. What the Spirit of God is building, what Your vision is, what the shepherd's vision is, what the people's desire is. God, I pray that You will give us harmony with You, give us alignment for this year, that we can be more productive than we've ever been, that we can have greater understanding of Your purpose than we've ever had. I pray, Lord, that You will strengthen us, anoint our hearing, help us to absorb what is said tonight in the Holy Ghost. Clap your hands to Jesus. And you may be seated. Everybody say, here we go again. I can imagine this becoming the catch slogan of demoralized demons who continually brought back reports of divine intervention. At certain points when the devil thought he had won certain ground, captured certain victories, the only thing truly certain was that God's power was never beyond help. How about when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden? Satan thought he had the prize creation, the clay mirrors of God, in an everlasting death hold. But suddenly God announces a new plan. Everybody say a new plan. This plan involves a lamb, but this lamb is no ordinary defense strategy for fallen man. It is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. And just when Satan thought he had God in the crosshairs of defeat, a seed of redemption was planted in the soil of humanity. The crushing blow of sin would transition over time into the crimson blood of salvation for all man. Satan would stand wagging his head in amazement at God's genius. And I just know he had to say, here we go again. The fruit stains of satanic trickery would prove no match for the blood stains of truth. Listen closely. How about when Abraham and Sarah succumbed to the notion that Hagar would be the surrogate mother for the blessed seed of inheritance? Satan must have chuckled while Hagar's belly swelled, while Sarah looked longingly in envy at her handmaiden, while Abraham stared pensively at the setting sun, wondering if he had done the right thing. The great deceiver probably thought, finally, I've got God exactly where I want Him. And I've proven Him wrong. His seed will not come through Sarah. It will come by fleshly substitute, by human ingenuity, granted enhancement by seed thoughts of doubt planted by my own hands. But on that day in Genesis 17, when the theophany of God singled Sarah out behind the curtain of the tent and announced she was going to conceive, Satan must have shook his head and said, here we go again. Sarah's too old. She's wrinkled like a prune, like a leather bag left out in the sun too long. But now, instead of aging forward, God has put her years into reverse. Ishmael may have been a permissive glance at satanic and humanistic invention, but Isaac was the promise born in the miracle hour of destiny. Sarah may have been in her old age, but eternity's will was ever young. Satan is looking at your church tonight. the principalities and the powers of Birmingham. And I want him at December the 31st of this year to look at you and say, here we go again. They did it again. They accomplished the will of God one more time. You may be seated. How about when Daniel stood at the mouth of the lion's den? The ferocious lions growled in the dusty pit. The bystanders gasped as they heard the rumbling thunder of the hungry beasts, a tempest of fur and fury. I guess you could say they were the main attraction. Some of you will get that later. Daniel's conspirators sardonically smiled at each other for a job well done. Daniel stepped into the basket elevator and stood motionless as he was lowered into an abyss of terror to be mutilated by man-sized lions. Their teeth dripped with saliva, their massive jaws open and shut in anticipation of fresh meat. They paced around in a death circle, and whatever was placed in the midst of them was to be shared only by the swift. The guards standing near the ceiling rock were used to the screams that usually resounded, death cries of the tormented. And when they watched Daniel being led in chains to the site of sadistic torment, they shook their heads and said, here we go again, just another criminal meal for the precious creatures below. To them, it was a repeat of the past, just another execution in a routine world of pleading, bleeding, and feeding. They would be there in the morning to scrape up the leftovers, pile up the bones, usually licked sparkling white, and take them to the graveyard where they would shovel up some dirt, throw in the scarce human remains, replace the dirt, and go on as if they had just discarded some chicken bones in the garbage after a fulfilling meal, because it was just routine to them. But when the dawn sucked darkness from the night and left a pale morning, the executioners led a tear-stricken king to the lion's den. They picked fig pieces from their teeth and made sucking sounds as they slid their tongues over decayed molars. They burped and went about business thinking about what the missus had made for lunch. And when they rolled away the stone covering, the usual odor of masticated flesh did not accost their nostrils. The stench of death absent. And when Satan looked beyond the shadow of snoring lions, he saw the untouched figure of Daniel peering east toward Jerusalem, and he was simply praying. And you know, the devil said it again. Here we go again. God has intervened. I get them down, he picks them up. I put them in the pit, he pulls them out. I bury them in a grave, and he raises them up. I put them in a prison, and he pardons them. I put shackles on them, and he breaks them free. God does it again and again. And I want to tell this church tonight in the Holy Ghost that what God has planned for you is another great demonstration, another great harvest, another great fruitful field of his purpose. Go ahead and magnify him for a moment. Don't let the conflict scare you. Don't let the enemy intimidate you tonight. Don't be dismayed by the cover of darkness. Don't let the black clouds of a coming tempest bring down your countenance, but smile with a knowledge that God will always see you through. And when it's all over, when the smoke is clear, the fire of the Holy Ghost will still be aflame. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Here we go again is not just a negative recycling of tragedy. It's not just reserved for the deja vu of bad days, broken dreams, and financial setbacks. And some of you can go, uh-huh, you got that right. Here we go again is not just the pessimistic rhetoric uttered sarcastically by the woman who's been through four divorces and witnesses the same behavior in her fifth husband. It's not just the slogan of the downtrodden, defeatist dreamers who lean on their canes of old age and stagger alone in the sunset of unfulfillment. Here we go again, can also and most emphatically be the catchphrase to the enemy's camp when he watches God work a miracle for you. The doctor said, there's nothing we can do. The diagnosis is death. But here comes God walking in the room again. Here comes the remedy of a risen Christ. Here comes the solution of a Savior. Here comes a God who turns the tide. And just when you thought it was all over, God heals again. God loves again. God forgives again. God delivers again. Lift up your hands and worship Him. God, praise God. Come on, turn to somebody and shrug your shoulders and go, here we go again. You may be seated. Here we go again is not just the perspective of mothers cleaning up their not so potty trained babies. And on a spiritual note, it's not just reserved for the pastor watching that new convert walk out the door again, taking another ounce of faith with them and leaving behind another particle of cynicism on your church growth concepts. Oh, it didn't work. Well, go again. Well, that one decided not to come back. Well, pray for somebody else. Well, that one rejected what you had to offer. Well, that's all right. Keep advertising. Keep propagating your gospel. Somebody living in the bad world wants your good news. Somebody living in a prison wants your promise. Somebody living in a forsaken, abandoned world of family dysfunctional wants your family of God. Be seated in Jesus' name. Here we go again is often the exasperated verbiage used when we hear a politician revisiting the same promises that 15 other pundits didn't keep. It's the natural, almost unsolicited belching response when they say, no new taxes. Yeah, here we go again. It was the securitist frustration to the children of Israel in the wilderness when they kept coming around to Kadesh Barnea every few weeks for 40 years. Talk about creatures of habit. That was definitely a highlight reel for here we go again. Same sandals, same tourist map bought 100 times. Where's Sister Sutton? Where's she going? Well, I was going to tell her, talk about Frommer's book being marked up. Same old merry-go-round of delay, same path worn deep enough to pass for a dry creek bed. Same replay of the vote, 10 against, 2-4. Here we go again. But here's what I like to encourage people with. There are times when folks get into cycles of suffering and they begin to point fingers of blame, or they begin to have self-insecurity, condemnation, shame, guilt, feeling inadequate. And so you get in these cycles, and you know, you just feel like, well, I'm just going in circles. Nothing's changing. You ever felt that way? Don't look at your spouse when I... Just keep your eyes on God when you raise your hand. Going round and round. But you see, you have to encourage yourself with this little piece of information. It depends on where you are as to what the circle means. If you're in the wilderness like the children of Israel, that's a circle of fear. You're just going round and round and delaying the inevitable, what God really wants for your life. But if you're, say, at Jericho going around in circles, that's not a circle of fear. That's one of obedience. So you can say tonight, you know what, devil? I know it looks like I'm just going in circles, but God's doing something with me in this season of suffering, in this seemingly time of neglect, rejection, and being overlooked, unnoticed, unsatisfied. But I got a feeling that one more trip around this wall and your stronghold's coming down. I just got a feeling of one more year of teaching Bible studies like we're doing. believe in the vision that God has given us, that some walls that have been constructed and has hindered our progress for years are going to come down. So I'm not in the wilderness. I'm at Jericho. I'm not frustrated. I'm waiting on God. And this is the march of a mighty army. These are the circles of praisers waiting on God. Clap your hands to the Lord in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Even God had his vision of, here we go again. Every day the blood of bulls and goats filled his vision, waters his eyes, and initiated a longing for conclusion. Every time the priest grasped the white wool of the bleating lamb, thrust it on the altar, strapped it down, and stuck the blade into its heart, I believe God said, here we go again. Longing for the day when the Word made flesh would bring all this to an end. Moving on, without the interpreted dream of Pharaoh in Genesis, where Joseph, by God's help, deciphered the two dreams to be one, Egypt would have been trapped in the here we go again famine. 7 years of famine was understood in the dream, but because it was known ahead of time, they were able to make adequate provision. Thus, every year when the famine came and the sky yielded no rain and the ground went on strike, not bearing fruit of vine or tree, no crops blowing in the winds, other surrounding countries might have uttered, here we go again, but not Egypt. The prophecies and the preparation gave them faith in the leadership of Joseph. You have to trust leadership even in the famine, because the leader has a vision. The leader's got a dream. So you can have Korahs and Cains and Balaams rise up, but it's Moses, the shepherd, that has the burning bush. Be careful of those who try to divide you from the leadership of the burning bush. I want to know what the man of God has to say. Notice the connection of God. He's not just a man. He's got flaws. He's got human tendencies. But when he's a man of God, he's anointed of God. He has a purpose of God. He is in a role for God. He stands as an ambassador of the old rugged cross to this generation, declaring to this world a vision and a dream. And if you're going to survive, you have to trust the dream. You have to believe it. So they stored away plenty, and the man of God must do the same thing even in times of dearth and the lack of church growth according to our standards. He must know that God has spoken. Not the dissatisfaction, but God has spoken. This is God's church. God doesn't build anything that sinks. God doesn't build anything that's not progressive. It will go forward. It will push through. It will break out of the ordinary. You can't put it in a box and you can't just make it predictable. God will keep a mighty sharp edge cutting on it, putting conviction in it, penetrating deep into it with a conviction of purpose and will and determination. Praise God. I'm just going to obey the Holy Ghost. So you can have disgruntled people. But be careful in your time of being disgruntled, because God will find somebody who will be humble enough to say, yes, sir. Well, what you want me to do, Pastor? Just show me the way. When I was 13, first feeling my call to preach, was preaching sermons already. Sometimes my assistant pastor would come by and pick me up and take me to the church on a Saturday. And we weren't going over to play basketball. We were going over there to get a toilet brush in one hand and a vacuum cleaner in the other. I got some of my best sermons scrubbing toilets out. I learned about flushing out the filth. I learned about no matter how bad it is, it can be clean. Praise God. Because my assistant pastor is trying to teach me that before you can be a sermonizer, you got to learn to be a servant. Servant. And it puts something in me that's still with me to this day. Before I'm a preacher that gets up here and opens this Bible, I'm a servant of God. In praise and worship in my daily life. Amen. And it doesn't matter how much God uses an individual. It doesn't matter how high and mighty I might think I can get in my flesh from time to time. God can cut me down to size in a moment, in a heartbeat, and say, you know what? I was around before you was born, and I'll be around a lot longer after you're dead. And if you think I can't have revival without you, watch. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I know that's not in my notes, but it's in God's notes tonight. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord together. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. See, God wants us, He wants us to be in harmony. Everybody say harmony. See it. Does that sound good? How could something that bad come out of something that she was making sound so good a while ago? That's the way some people's attitudes are. Things don't go their way. Or they don't get the part to play that they wanted. See, there's C, E, G. All different. But you put them together, even throw in that octave, it makes a pretty sound when it's in harmony. It's a key. A key to revival is finding your place and being in harmony with what God wants you to do in the church. Amen. Everybody can't be the pastor. God called one man to be the pastor. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's why some folks decide sometimes I'm just going to do it my way. And then it's like this right here. It's, oh boy, what kind of mess is that? And then you're in trouble because the devil's playing with your mind. But you need to get back in harmony. Realize that you can be different. You don't have to have their ideas and their personality and their way of thinking. But you do need to be in obedience and submission. Because when it's all together, God's got a perfect plan for harmony. And if I'm in God's choir and I'm a bass, I don't want to be over here standing with the sopranos. Don't need to be over in the alto section. I need to find my place, get in it, and do what God's told me to do. And I know sometimes I can feel it in the Holy Ghost. I can feel the spirit of certain individuals. And sometimes it's just one that rises up and says, you're exactly right. I'm going to do what God told me to do. The disclaimer to that is you have to have submission in your life. Stop walking around holding a gun to God's head saying, you promised me you were going to give me this, and then you don't have a submissive spirit. Man, y'all were shouting a while ago. What happened to that? This is all a part of vision. Somebody was going, man, I thought we was going to get here about vision this weekend. Yeah, we're trying to fix some cataracts. Because when you got cataracts of selfishness, all you see is yourself. What's important to you? You know what I learned a long time ago? One of the greatest antidotes for personal problems and depressions is help somebody else. Get your eyes off yourself for a while. It's some of the best therapy, I promise you. I have been depressed. I have complained to God. I have been contentious to my wife and said, I thought God would do this and this would happen. And then somebody's problem would come along that's like 10 times worse than mine. And I just throw myself into fixing their problem. And before it's all over, didn't even realize I fixed my own problem. While I was sewing up their wound, I sewed up mine. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord in Jesus' name. God, I want to just, would you begin to pray right now? In this year of 2006, right here in this church, Lord, I want to know my place. What part am I playing in this spiritual orchestra? Lord, if I've got the wrong instrument and I'm making bad sounds with it, Lord, help me put that instrument down? What if my faith has been crippled because of the things that I've wanted to happen? God, then forgive me tonight and help me to see it like you want me to see it, and to do it like you want me to do it, and to get in alignment with your will. Is there anything more frustrating than to get in your vehicle and after you've hit about 15 potholes, some of them the size of a small Grand Canyon, and then your truck or your car is knocked out of line, and it's like you don't even have to go to the gym. You can just wrestle that steering wheel and you're building up muscle. If you let go of that steering wheel, it's like, you'd be in the ditch, wouldn't you? Gotta get into the whatever shop and get this thing fixed. Get some alignment done. Some of us, this is what God does in the beginning of a year. He gets us in alignment, tweaks some things, fixes some things. Some folks, most of us, only need minor adjustments. It's not like, you know, you need a heart transplant. But there's a few. They'll be hitting all the keys at the same time. Praise God. Bible didn't just say make noise. It said make a joyful noise. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and worship God. Help us, Lord. Get in alignment with your word, with your will. People that are hungry. What souls has God made reservations for in the next few weeks for you to be the soul winner of? And the devil's trying to get you out of alignment, frustrated, distracted, detoured, upset, dissatisfied, and discontented with yourself. One of the greatest problems we're facing in America today, even in the church of the living God, is that the woman is tired and the man is bored. And you put it together, you got a terrible combination. Yeah. Oh, I'm too tired. Can't do that. Boy, I'm bored. I need to find something. You know, if you ever think church is boring, you insult the intelligence of God. How can you expend somebody that's absolutely infinite? That's almost a paradox. Absolutely infinite. We just put those together. It kind of makes your brain go in a spin. God cannot be exhausted. You can't spin him. That means there's always something to be discovered about him. There's always a new adventure in the church of the living God. There's always rest whereby the weary are made to rest. We need to pray, God, lift up the tired soul. And God, bring back faith to the individual that's found himself bored with a dead religion. And you can even be in Pentecost and be a dead religious person. But you can be awakened in purpose in your spirit tonight and say, God, here we go again. I'm ready to get back on that racetrack. I'm ready to get back on that path. I'm ready to continue in the journey that you've called me on. Let's lift our hands to the Lord in Jesus' name. I feel the Holy Ghost talking to us. Have your way tonight, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your vision. In the name of Jesus. Ha ha tonde la mahaya. Handora mahasheya. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You remember when Elijah went up on the mountain and he just told the king, better get up. Better get out of town. Better get to your house. Rain's coming. He's looking up and don't see nothing but blue sky. But he said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. He runs up on top of Mount Carmel, he and his servant, and he falls down with his face between his knees in the posture of prayer, and he's praying, and he tells his servant, hey, go over on that ledge. He's tell me what you see. So he runs over. I don't know how far, 100 yards, 200 yards. Bible doesn't really indicate. Comes back, he said, I ain't nothing. So he tells him, go again 7 times. Now, you got to get this tonight. Go again 7 times. Isn't it amazing that filtered into that phrase was failure? 6 times he's going to go and see absolutely nothing. Now, we don't like formulas that the majority of the formula is failure to get to the real success that God's trying to get us to. You say, well, I've flopped and I've tried and I've done this and I've been humiliated and I've been frustrated and I've tried to take strides. But do you ever stop to think that all of that has been a part of the process? Sometimes you don't get to point B over here, which is the ultimate will of God, without first having straggled over here to point A and realizing I'm miserable over here. I should have never moved here. Oh, God, why did I pull up stakes and build my camp here? I got to get out of here. And then when you come to that realization, you come over here to point B where God wanted you to get to all along. And your appreciation for it and your empowerment through failure increased your faith to the maximum point that God could use you. Let's lift our hands and worship God. Praise God. I mean, go again 7 times? You know, the 3rd or 4th time, he knows. He knows I'm not going to say anything on this trip. Here we go again. Let's go back again. It's going back and forth. This is getting to be monotonous. I mean, going to church every week and trying to have vision and praying and fasting. I mean, come on. What's the deal here? Don't you know, though, on that 7th trip, he was skipping and doodahing and whistling? Because he knew. Going to see something this time. But when he gets there and he looks out, he sees a cloud about the size of a man's hand. Now, can you imagine this is how some of us would feel? You mean to tell me, God, after all that investment, this is it? You gotta be kidding me. I've gone back and forth, up and down, in and out, frustrated. What's the deal? This is it? Oh, but just hang on. You're just seeing a little cloud right now, but it only takes one verse and the whole heaven is black with clouds out of that one little old cloud rising up out of the sea. What does God have in process for this church this year? What is his divine purpose? Be careful. You grab your Bible study chart and you go back and teach another Bible study and it's here we go again. And maybe the last 3 you taught didn't yield results. You know, you've been in a slump, but the Holy Ghost is telling you tonight, go again. Because I've sown in to this path of failure the ultimate success. If you just keep doing what I told you to do, if you just remain faithful, go again. Pray one more time. Seek my face one more time. Get in behind your shepherd. Say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, God. Let's go. I believe. I'll do it again. I'll pray it again. I'll teach it again. I'll declare it again. I'll witness to the world one more time. Because this may be the trip. Some of you are on the 7th trip right now, and you don't even realize it. Some of you have been seeking jobs and seeking for, you know, you've been trying to find your niche and you don't even realize that right at the apex of your greatest frustration, God is about to reveal his real purpose in your life. You do matter to him. Stop letting the devil tell you that you're insignificant to this church. You are an important part of the body of Christ, and he wants to use you if you'll stay in your place. Lift your hands in Jesus' name. Someday, and it's already happened, there's men that come along, men like myself, that finally begin to build an association with your great pastor. Ministries that are brought together. And you know, when men get to discussing and sitting around talking, what's the secret of your success? What did you change? I mean, what happened? See, just because somebody finally took notice doesn't mean that you came up with a magical formula for your success last night. It's just you've been doing what you've been doing. You've been walking with God, enjoying the journey, relationship oriented. When you have an intimacy with God like that, don't worry about the world's perception of your success. Because my greatest success is not my destination, but the one walking with me on this road. And if God's walking with me, that's a whole lot better than him not walking with me and me over there on the yellow brick road to Oz. I don't want to follow the yellow brick road. I want to be on God's road. And if I'm on God's road, he's walking with me. Praise God. Don't let the devil beat up your worth. You know how much you're worth? The blood. Simple answer, bottom line. Stop trying to prove yourself to those that really don't matter. God matters most. And your family matters. Don't misunderstand me. A lot of us want to do right because we know people are watching us. That's not what I mean. I'm talking about antagonistic, atheistic, unbelieving folk that don't walk by faith like you do. Don't be discouraged by their rhetoric. In Jesus' name. You can be seated. I want you to close your eyes. And I want everybody here that has a dream, a desire, to be used of God in this church. I want you to lift your hand if that's you. Now, I want you to take your two hands together. I want you to cup them together like you're holding a dream, and I want you to put it over your heart. I want you to listen closely to this allegory. You stand with your dream staring at the horizon. You believe the sun will rise on a fertile field. But when the sun rays erase the ink blots of night and the dew burns from the blades of grass, you stand with your hands on your hips wondering why you can't see a stalk, nor branch, nor bud, just a dry field choking you with dust and frustration. So you hear a word of faith, a promise of rain, a forecast of success. In the night, you envision a storehouse packed with inventory of all kinds. You get in celebration mode, faith putting together an orchestra of gratification. This is it. It's really going to happen this time. How many can relate to that? Just slip up your hand real quick. Okay, cup that dream again now. You stand again at the brink of night, exploring the endless universe with a curious eye. The sun starts her slow awakening, stretching from a night's sleep to give a new day some light. You lift expectant eyes upon the field. But to your horror, nothing has changed. A tumbleweed skips playfully in the wind on the very barren ground you had hoped would finally yield something. So you go to another retreat. Another plan is given. Another dream exposed. Another prophecy spoken. And for a cynical moment, you say, here we go again. You begin to think you should go into the sand selling business. After all, you've got plenty to spare with all the desert time you spent journeying to your dream. Then on that last day of hope, when you've decided to walk away from the dream for good, you decide to check the field one more time. You stand at the brink of night. The sun rises as usual, and that's the problem. You want something unusual to take place. You cynically glance in the direction of all those planted ambitions. But this time, you say, uh-oh, something's different. You rub your eyes, you pinch yourself, and you realize you are awake because a sharp pain remains where you pinched, and there's a huge red mark. You look again. You scan your surroundings to make sure the same landmarks are there and that you've not ended up in some other dreamer's field. No, it's definitely your field. You were just about to say, here we go again. But a lone stalk, I want you to see it, child of God. That lone stalk has pushed through the soil. It's the beginning of several other stalks in view behind the first. It wasn't just one as initially thought, but many beyond calculation. It's the start of a mighty harvest. After all the years of disappointment, frustration, Surrender. Your dreams are finally coming into view. And here we go again. It's traded. For I've never experienced this before. This is the destiny I believe God has. Individually for many in this room, but most emphatically and importantly, collectively for this body this year. Here we go. No, not again. Here we, God. Again. Here we go to a place we've never been. Now lift up your hands in that dream to God right now. And let the Holy Ghost flow out of you. Go ahead. Release that spirit of faith. If you feel like standing up, if you feel like getting out in the aisle, if you feel like coming in this altar and falling on your face, if you feel like dancing, it's okay. This can be a service of mixed emotions because there are some who have been so close for years. And this is the hour. This is the time. This is the year. This is the place of breakthrough in Jesus' name. You can see it. You finally got a glimpse of it. You really believe that God is going to do it for you this time. Let's stand to our feet and lift our voices together. Come on, church, pray. Lift up your voice. Let the Holy Ghost out. Let the Holy Ghost out. Let the Holy Ghost out. Handoromo konde la mahaya. Do you see this being a year of fulfillment? Do you see this being a year of great faith? Then get out of your seat tonight and come down to this front with your hands raised and your faith expectant and your desire still determined to follow after God. Hey, I believe it. I'm going again. I'm praying again. But I believe something different is going to happen this year, that we're going to a place that we've never been. Yes, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. He konde ala mayondo lala bo konde la mamahaya. Yindola la mo sondela. Yeah, let that out. Go ahead, intercessor. Let it out. Go ahead, tongue talker. Let it out. I believe the vision. I believe the call of God. I believe I'm in the right church. I believe I've got the right pastor. I'm going to trust my leader. I'm going to follow after the vision that has been given to the godly man. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, in Jesus' name. Yes. Yes. Free my hands, God, that I can work. Free my legs, God, that I can walk. Free my mind, God, that I can think as you want me to think. Free my eyes, oh Holy Ghost, that I can see the spiritual panorama that God is seeing. Let me walk in that place in Jesus' name. Pray it, pray it. Believe it, believe it.
Another season for a prayer. another level, another harvest, another day for you to manifest your promises, another moment, another season for us. Okay.
I felt the Holy Ghost to come and say, and obviously this must be to several people, not just an individual one, but I feel like many of you are in the proximity. You're not necessarily at the exact spot. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes when you're close to something and yet you can't see that you're close to that breakthrough or fulfillment or next step up, you think, well, I must be way off, and then you end up going way over somewhere else. So I want to tell you again, you're in the proximity. right there. And it's just feeling after God, walking after God. And you'll be standing on that exact spot where the Lord wants you to be. Maybe it's a family member you've had a burden for years. Maybe it's the kind of work you've wanted to do. Some of you may be holding down 2-3 jobs and you're really qualified to do something else. And you're in the proximity of getting that. Just don't let discouragement drive you way off into a foreign place of grief and shame and feeling abandoned. Let me understand what I'm saying tonight. You feel like you're right there, close. Don't know exactly, you know. Kind of like in the middle of the night, you know, maybe. Or you get up early in the morning or something, and you don't want to wake up your spouse, or you kind of, you know, you put your keys right there on the end table. You don't want to turn the light on. Just kind of, you know they're there. Oh, yeah. This is, can you kind of just feel yourself doing that, kind of in the spirit? And then, there it is. There's the key. It's what I'm looking for. This is what God wants me to do. In Jesus' name, praise God. How many feel like God's kind of stuck you with an IV tonight, and he's just kind of pouring in some encouragement and refreshment into your spirit tonight? Would you continue to worship God? Just a few more minutes, waiting on the Lord, talking to you, opening your vision and understanding in Jesus' name.